Good morning, good afternoon. This is AJ, one of the co-founders of Spila, the social collaborative network. Today we have two special guests on the Bedroom to Boardroom podcast, Stacey and Cheryl.
Hi.
Tell us about yourselves quickly.
I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a vegan. None of that shit. I'm just making that up. We are a prop tech startup. We're best friends. We're both going to the Philippines this year.
Ooh.
Not together.
No.
And what else, Stace?
Yeah, so we work together for about 15 years at the moment.
Yes.
Cheryl actually hired me, and then we started our journey. Well, she'd already started a journey in the old flex office world, and then she decided that she wanted me to be with her as her her first mate. So we've worked at all different various providers, and we decided that we wanted to do something on our own. So we looked at actually starting up our own service office provider, but fortunately that cost us big bucks. We decided, well, what else can we do? And then we looked at the process of how people find offices, etc. And we looked at them, we found that there was a big gap between the actual how the whole process and how it's done, and how many staff that's actually used to actually book in viewings, etc. What are you laughing at?
That's a great sales pitch. I like that. Elevated pitch. So how we normally start the podcast is with some icebreaker quick fire Q&As for both of you. Here's the first one. What was the first concert you went to?
New Kids on the Block.
I actually think it might have been Robbie Williams.
Okay, I know one of the two. Okay, showing my age a little bit here. Cats or dogs? 23.
Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Wowza.
Yeah.
I like both.
You have to pick one.
Cats.
Beautiful. Favorite genre of music?
Hip hop, probably.
Okay.
I like kind of indie kind of stuff.
So, like 1974.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only band I know. I did it.
Yeah, no, I like that. People like, I like Arcade Fire, but then I like The Killers. Like,
you
say
you like R. Kelly.
So if you two could create slogans for your lives, what would those slogans be?
I don't know.
Talk first, think later.
I like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. And here's an interesting one. What's the worst jobs you've ever had?
Oh, I worked, so I've kind of had two. Like, I worked at a zoo and I worked in the hot dog cart.
Okay.
Got paid like £2.80 an hour. And then I was worked at Tesco's in the bakery and had to slice breads at 5 in the morning when I just got in from the club at like 4:30 in the morning. That was fun. Like that.
Cheryl, what about yourself?
I worked in a warehouse once, but I just dicked about all day. Trying to think what else. Loads of waitressing jobs and in shops and stuff when I was at school. It was different then. You could just walk into a shop and say, give me a job, and they would. And now you have to go through like some crazy.
It's fucking boring. So many hoops you have to jump through.
I know, it's weird. My stepdaughter said that she had to go for like a whole day just to get a job in like Hollister or something. And they had to do all these, there was like 40 of them. They had to like make a chair out of balloons.
All these like stupid team building exercises that really don't mean anything because you don't work as a team anyway.
Just make everyone do trust falls all day.
You are funny.
Last question. The zombie apocalypse is coming.
Ooh, that's my favourite.
That's her jam. Question. That is.
Yeah,
here we go. All right, cool. Here we go. So who are three people you want to have on your team?
Sarah Connor from Terminator 2. These are fictional people.
Okay, sure.
Who else? My dad. Mm-hmm. Stacey's dad. Sorry, Stace.
What? My dad.
I picked your dad over you.
Gary's a Marine.
I'll save you, but I want him on my team.
No, my dad's a survivalist ex-Marine, you know? He's a good choice. Well, I can't argue with that.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad you approve.
What?
What about your top three, Stacey?
Oh, I would have Cheryl because she's scrappy, but also have someone like Bear Grylls with us, you know, someone that could get us around and make us feel comfortable drinking our own urine, you know? Make it normal. Make that standard.
Okay.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
So you've told us a little bit about your backgrounds, currently what you do, you operate in the prop tech sector. So what is one common myth about the prop tech sector you'd like to debunk?
God, I don't know. Well, there's no one actually doing what we're doing in prop tech. So there aren't any myths around that. And in terms of anything else, like, you know, like facilities management or whatever, I wouldn't have a clue.
Well, I think we spoke about this earlier. I think what...
Stacey just looked up myths.
Yeah, I thought you wanted to like some notes.
That's what Stacey did. She just looked up myths.
I just looked up myths. No, but in terms of the industry that we operate in, I think people think that serviced offices or flexible offices are, you know, overly branded by the brand that actually operates them. They can't create their own identity. It doesn't really bend to what they need in their day-to-day, but really it's evolved so much that we've got companies that want to take whole floors that are branded and on a flexible term. So it's a lot better for companies these days, so they don't have to commit to 5, 10, 15-year leases, because obviously what's going on in the world at the moment, everything's kind of unsure. So it's actually a really good product for companies these days.
Yeah, I think people always say they want a lease because they want their own, they want to feel like they've got their own space. But the truth of it is that most of the flexible operators cater for that because they know that that's what the requirement is. So it's a bit like it's a dated view that it's going to be like 20 companies all in a warren of offices. There are places like that, but you can get a whole floor and bespoke it and they'll pay for all of it. So you can get it on flexible terms. What do you do AJ?
No comment. I was in a WeWork.
All right.
Okay. 3 months, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. You liked it.
The barista. I found out about this wonderful thing. It's called iced coffee.
Stacey loves an iced coffee.
I'm on that. A nice American. It's the life.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Now we're talking.
It's all about that.
I can't go back. So listen, I kind of tell you briefly about what we do at Speedlove.
Yes.
So it's a diversity and inclusion platform based on the fundamental belief that opportunity, talent, is equally distributed, however opportunity isn't. We are looking to be that vehicle to help people from underrepresented backgrounds jumpstart their careers in sectors such as tech. That's really our main focus right now. It's a very emergent industry. So speaking on the topic of diversity and inclusion, what does diversity mean to you?
I think it's an old ship. It's from Anchorman. You don't remember that bit?
Yeah, I do. Of course I do. I love it. No, so diversity to me obviously means that when we come into any other workplace, there's people from all different backgrounds, all different... you know, like religions, etc. And it actually, like, you know, everything. Yeah, I mean, I don't really look at the world like that. But unfortunately, like, I think maybe it's probably better for me to relate it to what we've experienced.
Let's do it.
We're females in the property industry. We've had some really, like, high-level jobs in there, but we weren't allowed in the boardroom, even though we ran the day-to-day. And we know... that was probably because we're women.
I think it was because we
were women. Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to be PC, you know.
There's no PC here. Fuck that.
No, well, you know, we knew that's exactly what the reason was. We were okay to sit there and, like, go, like, literally make sure that their company is running well, profitable, the staff were managed and looked after, our clients were happy, but we weren't allowed behind that door to actually give our feedback and tell them how we should think that the company should be going. Instead, it was other people that I didn't deal with the day-to-day making decisions. And unfortunately, that's one of the reasons that's prompted us to leave, really, and start all this out, because we got tired of it. We've been doing this for a very long time.
They weren't making the right decisions either.
Mm-mm. And then they weren't listening to our advice.
Yeah, wondering why it wasn't working out.
Yeah, so you know, we find that a lot in our industry specifically. I mean, it seems like a lot of the women are allowed to sit there and be center managers and area operation managers, but you rarely find directors or women founders. I think I only know one.
It's a very male-dominated industry,
yeah.
Property and technology. So
yeah,
how do you think we go about changing that?
I think it's more of a.
I think it's a mindset, isn't it?
I don't think it's an individual thing. I think it's a societal thing, and I think it's sort of like getting that the conformity to change. It's the conditioning to not think about where someone comes from or what they look like, and more about having. I wouldn't say diversity is necessarily the way that I would think about it. I would think about it more as in equality. Because with diversity, you get people that are like, well, I have to have a certain amount of people of color,
sure.
Or a certain amount of women. So then they're just going around ticking boxes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the right people to be there. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if it's more about equality and just not viewing people like that, or putting labels or having judgments about people, then you'll get the right people. It won't just be about ticking boxes. Sorry, I'm really distracted. Me and my brother were going to do this little skit. No, it's not. It's like, he's hiding in the toilet. He's wearing a balaclava and he was going to come out with a knife. And you guys are going to be like, fuck, who's that? And I'll be like, what? I don't know. And he's going to drag me off screen. But he's been in the toilet for ages.
I thought he's been in there for ages. I thought you reported it.
No, I felt bad for him. I thought like, oh, was I?
Yeah. Oh wow, miscommunication.
Yeah.
Classic.
Kills many businesses.
Damn it! We got too serious. Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like thinking that he's gonna be jumping out at any minute, so I keep looking around. Oh, so funny. Anyway,
so on that piece of changing mindsets of conformity of society, how do we go about doing that? So one of our approaches is, I would say, grassroots, early stage, which is informing younger people, the next generation, because I believe, you know, the older generation are fundamentally they're a waste of time. No offense. We'll all die soon.
I get that.
But focusing the young people.
No offense.
The shoe fits, where it. But, getting the younger people to understand that they are able to go into these careers in, say, property or tech or financial services, and trying to provide them with role models who are currently in this particular space, who look like them, sound like them, are from where they're from, and just connect them with those influences and hopefully be that spark of motivation.
Yeah, I suppose there is that. Stacey and I were talking about this earlier, because we both didn't go to university, and it wasn't because we didn't want to. It wasn't even a thought, like, we didn't have the opportunity. So I suppose if people think that they just can't do something like that, and having role models or having mentors or someone that they can look to that's from a similar background to them will motivate them and inspire them to do something, it's probably one way of going about it. But like I said, I think it's a societal thing with like with everything, you know, like our wasteful consumerism as a society isn't like individuals doing it. It's because it's made to be acceptable and normal. And it's quite weird if you think about stuff, how what we deem as being normal is just a lot of it's mental.
Such as?
And absurd. Just, you know, like the throwaway fashion, and everyone's got their eyes closed.
Pretty little thing.
Yeah, well, all of it, you know, like people go on holiday to get 12 new outfits, and it's just like, it's insane.
I've heard that, like the four outfits, the four different bikinis for like a 2-day holiday. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's mad. And if you really think about it, I think in about 50 years when we're, you know, living in Mad Max, everyone's going to be like, you did what?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's those sorts of things. It's like, if the whole environment that everybody's brought up in changes, then there'll be a different norm. And if people don't look at And it's a human thing to look at something and make a swift snap judgment. Then that's also, again, cultivated. We're not born like that. It's cultivated by our environment and the conditioning that we get from a young age. I don't know the right way to go about it. Obviously it's not my job, so I don't know.
I guess it's my job, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of, it's got to come from all different types of areas. It can't just be like one part of the demographic. It's mm-hmm. got to come from lots of different angles to make a change.
Yeah, and I think also with how it's actually evolved in the past 50 years, if you think that the people that are, like, you know, the people in there, like, just before the higher levels, but they were children of people that were in the war. So even at that point, women were homemakers, we weren't, like, able to have careers, that kind of stuff. So that mentality is still out there because that's how they've been raised.
Yeah.
So that loops back to how our children will be and how we've evolved, is that, women now have full-time careers and have children, and it's very, very accepted. But there's still something in major companies, and companies actually, it doesn't really matter about the size, So if I started a job and then 6 months later I got pregnant, they'd be upset about that, because obviously they think that I'm going to go off and never return. But what if I wanted to come back? And then there's the inflexibility with childcare, where I'm a very capable person and be able to fill the whole job role that they've employed me to do. Just I need a bit back bit from them. So, it's that mentality too, and that they're like, they'll be losing out in some sort of way. But I don't believe that.
But that's like another social issue, right? Like, because men should be doing half of the parenting. Why is it always the woman? That if it were 50-50 in the childcare, then there wouldn't be an issue with a woman. It would be, right, okay, so you're having a baby, so that affects the man and the woman. Right now, it just affects the woman.
Yeah.
So one thing I've been learning about on this journey is how expensive childcare is.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
You need to take a third job.
When I first came back to work, I earned good money. So I was only working 20 hours a week.
That's a nice little flex, Cheryl.
Huh? No, but I'm saying...
No, that's all right. I see. It's okay.
No. Some people have to work full time. Like, one of my friends has to work 8 till 6, even when the kid was like 7 months old. So at least I got to see them. I earned good enough money that I had that option, but I still made no money for the first year or two because everything went back into childcare because it's so expensive.
It's terrible. And there's another industry that I think needs to be changed, and that is, how would I describe it? Care for elderly people. So I finished reading a book called by Atul Gawande called Mortality, and it really brought my eyes to how shit the healthcare system is for elderly people. Fundamentally, you just kind of fling them in a home, wait for them to die. You have these nurses and doctors who don't really give a shit about them, just trying to make their money and go home. And it's a pretty sad existence for people in their formal later years, having to just relax and fundamentally lose all sense of being independent and now revert to being a child.
Well, you kind of, they lose the fact that they're actually a human, It's just, it's very sad.
Yeah, but again, I blame it on there's lots of different cultures that look after that role. Like, it's a community, everyone is involved. Mm. A village raises, there's sayings like village raises a child. That's how it used to be. You wouldn't just, we've lost that family link. And when, now we just put people in homes. And also a lot of the time it's really bad health that they've had. And that's why they've ended up with certain conditions. And then they're just given medicine instead of changing their lifestyle. And then those medications give them more conditions. And then it just deteriorates from there. They've got this thing called blue zones, and it's like the people that live from they're very, very healthy until they're like 100 plus. And all of them have got very, very healthy. Like, they don't take elevators. They walk everywhere. They eat really clean food, and they don't have diabetes and cardiovascular stuff. That's because our current environment is like everything sugar, sugar, and salt, and nobody exercises.
Okay, well. That's good. I'm going to research that. Thank you.
That's all right. There's loads of podcasts on it.
Cool. So I want to give this episode to my little sister, who is, how old is she? Let's just say 19, because that sounds right. And I want
so funny. Such a brother. Get away with it. Like, if I didn't know who I was, I'd get so much shit.
She's cool. So what do you wish you would have known in your perhaps personal career earlier?
Just that I am capable and just got to give it a go. Like, I feel like this is the right time for us to be doing it, but I think like 22-year-old me could have done this too, right? It's just having self-belief and thinking that you can do something. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little, you know, confidence boosters to get you to that point.
I follow that. I mean, as we said earlier, you know, 19-year-old Stacey very much wanted to go to university, but unfortunately I just didn't have the financial means to do it. So I kind of chose a job, my first initial job, and that's how Cheryl and I later ended up becoming connected. It was in this recruitment consultancy. It was a very... it was construction recruitment. So you can imagine a young, blonde, 19-year-old me sat there. It was a really negative environment, but I thought that was acceptable. And I thought it was acceptable to talk to like crap. And some of the things that they said to me was very inappropriate. And I thought that was okay, you know, but I didn't have the confidence or the belief in that I was better or, you know, or I thought, you know, that was, a, you know, just what it was. And then eventually I had enough. And then that's why I decided to take this role at, was that Business Environment Group, actually, where we met. And then I found out, actually, that's not how the working world is, you know. You don't have to accept being unhappy. And I think that's very, very
that's
important.
Yeah.
For anyone young to know that.
You shouldn't sit there and be unhappy.
Mm-mm. It's not worth it. And you shouldn't let anyone feel you feel bad about you being you.
So following from that point, what are the biggest mistakes you've made in your career?
Probably those things, like knowing that you're unhappy. Yeah, but yeah, you eventually get out, but there comes to a point where you're like, I should have done that like 6 months ago. So you just think me personally took responsibility and I can somehow change the situation. But it's just kind of, I think that's some people are born like that, but I think it's just one of those things that you get from experience to know when to just go, no, fuck this, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I've been in jobs that I've incredibly happy that unhappy and I've stayed. Like, you get, you know, I think it's, all goes back to that, you know. I think that was a mistake that I did, but then again, any kind of mistake that's happened has actually changed into something really positive. So you just, you know, you're right, fine, that happened, let's move on and see how we learn from it and not make that happen again.
On a more positive note, best career decision you've made?
Hiring you Stacey.
Saying yes.
I like that. Good. What, Cheryl, what was it about you that made you hire Stacey?
I can't even remember, to be honest. I don't know. I don't remember the interview. I do remember part of it because I was interviewing with a HR woman who I thought was just like an
agent. She's nuts.
She was just, yeah. I think I was just sort of looking at her incredulously thinking, what are you doing? She just asked these weird questions. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember. I think you were, as usual, your professional self. You're a lot more serious those days.
Yeah. I remember when I went to go and work, when I left that job and I was 21, and I had people working for me that were like 50. So I couldn't be going around like I do now. I didn't have that sort of sense of self. I knew I was good, but you kind of get to a point in your life where you're like, well, if you don't like it, you can suck it. But I wasn't quite there yet. And I felt like I had to be very professional because I had, you know, like 28 people working for me. And I was the youngest person in my whole team, as well as everybody that worked for me. So I had to be.
Wow. So a few more questions. We've touched upon a few of them I was going to end with. But what would you be doing if you weren't running a PropTech business?
I'm probably living in a van. And on the beach somewhere. I still want to do that, like, in a couple of years.
Are you saying that, you know, so if we had any choice in the world?
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do that.
I'm a massive foodie, so I've got this big vision one day, once we make our millions from selling our prop tech company, it's having a small holding and starting some sort of artisanal farm to fork kind of cafe in Norfolk or even in Cornwall or Stalker down there.
Stacey's going to stalk me. I want to move to Cornwall.
and then I can come home
whenever I've had enough of the open road.
I think my ultimate goal is to do something with food, work with food. Quite one of my biggest passions right now. I'm roasting up a slow roast shoulder of pork, you know.
Oh wow,
that's what's happening tonight. I'm making a parsnip puree, you know. Ooh. Rabo roasted carrots and
Wild Saturday.
That's me, mental. It's not like
so one quick question. I have some inside information. I'm aware that you guys are fundraising. I had a call on Friday with a female founder, and she was adamant the reason why she couldn't secure these investments, despite having, you know, as she described, verbal commitments from, I'm doing that quote marks, verbal commitment from her investors, was because she was female in her industry. Have you found that?
I mean, I don't really see it like that. And people always say that women get paid less. And I'm sure that does happen, but it's never happened to me. I don't really feel like that. Do you,
Stace? Yeah, no, it's happened to me. I think sometimes if I was a man, like I'm right now trying to contact as many investors of what we're doing right now. And I find that if I was a man, sometimes they would have listened to me a bit more because it's the old boys club mentality, you know?
Maybe if I'd been a boy, I'd know the difference, but I don't know the other side of it.
So yeah.
It just never, ever occurs to me.
I think
we're quite bullish anyway. We'll
just with my mentality, anyway. It's like, shut up, you're going to listen to me.
Yeah.
Like,
give me your money.
Give me money. What's in your pocket? We've done that to someone.
We have, yeah.
How'd it work? Was it effective?
Well, he said he was going to invest. We're still waiting to hear from him, but we've got to do something else, like anti-bribing thing, because we're working separately as well. So
beautiful. That was me, sorry. One final question.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you think are the secrets behind you getting to where you currently are? I know there's a lot more to come, but at this current stage, those secrets that we can share with our listeners.
I think we are. It's also about like enjoying life, because you can work too much and then you look back and you think, I didn't have any fun. We have as much fun as we can. We're always laughing. We're just two little fruitcakes wandering around the world.
We're very capable and very smart.
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like I felt like I couldn't be that person, but then when you realise that actually, well, I am all of those things. I think people can see that as well, beyond the crazy. They see that we're very capable and we know exactly what we're doing. So why not be ourselves?
And I also think, you know, the reason why we're doing so well at this and we've been able to deliver it in the way that we have is because we've actually worked on the other side of the fence in terms of our industry. So we actually manage, maintained and run a serviced office provider. Other competitors haven't done that. Most are actually techies. Some are actually just salespeople that fell into it. So they don't actually know how the actual product fully operates. And I think with our background and it's a base level of knowledge, I think that's actually really helped us to get us where we're going.
Yeah, we also spent a lot of time looking at what was how everything was running, how we could, that's why we're choosing to automate it. How we can streamline the process, make it easier and more cost effective for the client, the landlord and ourselves. So we spent a lot of time doing that rather than, you know, just adopting the same approaches that are out in the market. Now we're trying to change it. We're trying to disrupt it.
And I think on that note, we shall call it a wrap. So share your socials with the listeners who want to follow you. I'm going to give this to my sister, so she probably should follow you. She doesn't, I'm going to, you know, send her an aggressive message.
Okay.
Well, we are Your Collective Limited, both on LinkedIn and on Facebook. Instagram is the same. We've got to do Twitter, but we're a bit old.
I don't like social media, so...
I don't think people want us tweeting, because I think we've obviously heard what's coming out of our mouths.
No, listen, you could build quite a following. Just from being yourselves. Yeah. Just your random thoughts sporadically throughout the day.
Yeah, we've got a lot of them.
Let's start today. That's the next action post this podcast, is create a Twitter account and just post your thoughts.
Yeah.
Post your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, Stacey usually has to censor me. I had to get her to sign off that me and my brother could do this. because, yeah, so I think maybe I'll say stuff. Stacey's got her own anyway, but I sometimes don't know the boundaries.
There's no boundaries.
Stacey might have to approve mine.
Yeah, no, we have a approval chain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure. Cool, we'll probably talk so. More just at C Legals about like real life stuff and fundraising. Hopefully, I'll try and help you with that. Mm-hmm. And
let's get some money.
Give us some money.
Yeah.
I'll try my best. Anyway, it's a pleasure talking to you. This is
you
today's
too, episode.
Take care.
Cool. Thanks, Bye. Bye.